Explicit AI-generated images of Taylor Swift have reignited the discussion around nefarious uses of emerging technology. It has raised questions about how prevalent the problem is and whether legislation is strong enough to address it. I'm Dave Breckenridge, and this is 10-3. National Post reporter Chris Knight joins me to discuss cases that have arisen in Canada, why this is a growing problem, and whether our current laws need to evolve with the technology. Don't forget you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. I'd love it if you could leave us a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. So Chris, the last year or so has seen all sorts of conversation about the use of artificial intelligence. And there's been the really neat stuff like ChatGPT and photo generating sites and video generating sites and the potential creative power that it provides us. And based on your reporting on this, like, what are some of the potential benefits or positive uses of technology like that?
I guess the beneficial side is that it is so easy to use. In terms of things like ChatGPT and image creation, you can go to an image creation site on the web and just type in a prompt and say, you know, I did a crazy one where I said, just show me a picture of a dog looking confused at a stop sign. And it did. It came up with that. And it looked, it was kind of goofy looking. So you can do some really fun things in a really short time without any sort of, you know, artistic or technological training.
And yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing that could be put to use for all sorts of good purposes. And for every upside, though, there appears to be a downside. And I guess the ease of it also creates a host of potential problems. I mean, with chatbots, it can be used to cheat academically, for example, if you wanted to. You could ask it to write you an essay that isn't in your writing. And with photos, there can be nefarious uses of real images that are hard to tell from the real thing. And I, like, one of the most recent examples is the case of Taylor Swift. And I know late last year there was also, I mean, less nefarious, there was images of the Pope that appeared to be very real looking, but were actually AI generated. What can you tell me about those two specific cases?
Well, the Pope one was kind of funny because I think it was a lot of people's first introduction to these artificially created images. And it was just Pope Francis wearing a big puffy white coat, which, you know, if what we know about him, he's quite a modest individual and he doesn't tend to dress up, but he had this very stylish coat. And of course, yeah, as you say, it was completely fake. And a lot of people did sort of realize that his hands looked a little funny. There were some telltale signs that you can occasionally see. The Taylor Swift situation was a lot more dark in that people were asking the AI to create images of her in sexually explicit situations. Some of them were violent. I haven't seen any, thank God, but I think some of them showed her as if she had just been attacked. She looked bloodied. So yeah, there's a real downside and some real harmful things that can be done.
Mm-hmm. And this doesn't affect just celebrities though. I know recently, and you wrote about, there was a case of a junior high school in Winnipeg that had to deal with this specific issue of AI generated or AI doctored image. What happened there?
Yeah, this was a case of images being doctored. And what happened was that the school officials found that there were images circulating around from some of the students that showed some of the underage female students in the nude. And there are, believe it or not, AI programs out there that will take the clothes off of somebody and show them appearing to be nude. So, and the images were not nude originally. They were just social media images, I think, that had been posted to, you know, Facebook or Instagram or whatever. The police were called in and did some investigation. No charges have been laid. But the problem is that it's such a new territory. And the police, even when they were investigating this, some of them said as much that they'd never really had to deal with anything like this. It was brand new.
And in the case of the Winnipeg incident, did police say that there was much they could do about it? Were there any charges that could be laid, or were there any charges that were laid in that case?
So the CBC just did an update on the investigation, and apparently the police have concluded their investigation. They can't say a whole lot because we're talking about underage people in a school, so there's a lot of privacy concerns. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is, no, they did not actually lay any charges. Again, some of the people who may have been involved in this from the creation side are probably also underage. So that's, a concern as well when you're looking at the legality of it all. But yeah, they in the end, I think the best thing that they could do was say, well, we're aware of this, and that, you know, they're going to try and take these images down. There's apparently something on the web called Project Arachnid, which is a kind of web crawler that if you give it images that you don't want on the web anymore, it will go around and delete them. So they're trying to sort of, I guess, clean up the mess after the fact, as it were.
We'll be right back. When it comes to legal experts, people who are following this, do they see this as a problem that's going to get worse before it gets better, before maybe jurisdictions and countries realize, oh, there's a gap in our law and we need to make some changes to make these kind of things like explicitly illegal?
I think, yeah, the people that I spoke to seemed to think that it was going to get worse before it got better. I spoke to Maura Grossman, who's a legal expert and a research professor at the School of Computer Science at the University of Waterloo. She was perhaps hopeful that the law would begin to catch up, but it definitely needed some catching up. The other expert I spoke to was an adjunct professor at the U of T by the name of Daniel Tsai, and he was very pessimistic, really, about the situation. His metaphors were about, you know, the horses being out of the barn and it being very difficult to sort of rein in the nefarious uses of this technology now. And he's got experience with it. He told me he had actually helped draft a criminal code provision around camcorder use in a movie theater. So, you know, recording a movie off the screen with your camcorder, which tells you how long ago that law was, and kind of puts into perspective how far we've come since then.
And looking at some of the even the more darker sides of it, there was a case in Quebec where a man was sentenced to jail time for using this kind of technology to create child pornography. And I'm curious, what did the judge have to say in that case about this kind of crime?
So that was, I think, last April. And I'm just looking at the decision from the court judge. And I'll just read a little snippet of it here. He said, a simple video excerpt of a child available on social media or a video of children taken in a public place could turn them into potential victims of child pornography. So almost any image, I guess, of an individual could be either modified into a way that it becomes pornographic, or, you know, you could swap out the head of one person with the body of another, which these programs will also do quite seamlessly, and you know, create images that way.
And when it comes to the law, there's appears to be a patchwork of legislation that differs from province to province when it comes to the sharing of intimate images without consent. Do any of them address this kind of new frontier of AI-generated intimate images?
It really is hit and miss. I think just about every jurisdiction in Canada has something about sharing of intimate images without consent, but whether they necessarily refer to the issue of deepfakes or AI-generated images, some of them do, some don't. The British Columbia law, which I think is the newest, makes specific mention of all of those things: live streaming, AI-generated images, deepfakes. So it's trying to cover the issue where not just someone has taken an intimate photo and then someone else is sharing it without their consent, but the idea that someone has taken a perfectly ordinary photo, which has then been changed into an intimate photo, which has then been shared without consent. So yeah, some of the laws are a little outdated and perhaps need to, at the very least, bring in that terminology. Some, like British Columbia, is that are brand new, are already talking about that.
Mm-hmm. And some of the experts you talk to, do they see the laws as they exist now as doing enough to address the problem, or do they want to see more provinces do kind of what BC has done, or go even further?
I guess the experts that I spoke to are suggesting that the laws are, you know, good as far as they go, but probably do need to be strengthened and broadened so that they cover more of this newer technology.
So let's say someone, not Taylor Swift, who may have more resources, more avenues to fight against some of this, but just a typical person has someone create an image of them and puts it online or shares it online and it starts getting shared around, what recourse does someone have, especially if the images are hosted outside of the country? I know you mentioned this program Arachnid that can go around and take these things down, but are there roadblocks here?
There are jurisdictional roadblocks, to be sure, because with just about any kind of cybercrime, you know, the issue of sextortion, which has been in the news lately as well, sometimes the criminal is in another country. And as you say, sometimes the hosting service is in another country. So if you, for instance, went to the law service in British Columbia and wanted to take something down, well, the United States or a country in West Africa or North Korea, you know, you name it, doesn't necessarily have to follow any law that's laid down by BC. Now, what some of the experts told me is that in the case of a large hosting site, you know, like X, formerly Twitter, they face a public relations backlash if something happens and they sort of ignore it. And we saw that with the Taylor Swift situation. But yeah, ultimately, it does seem to be relying on people's better nature, I guess.
Are there any other legal avenues that are available to people outside of, you know, the laws relating to images specifically? Like if someone posted something about me, an image or anything like that, would I have other recourse?
The experts that I spoke to said that there are older laws that you can turn to. Misappropriation of personality, for instance, or defamation. These are legal terms that just broadly cover someone saying or doing or showing something about you that is harmful to you. So there are ultimately laws that already exist that broadly cover the newer technology, but it's probably for the best, it's what I've been told, that the laws continue to evolve to make specific reference to the new technology so that there's no doubt that this is something that's not to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's a fascinating discussion, and the Taylor Swift example, it just kind of highlights for people the dangers of some of this technology. Chris, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you. Nice talking to you.
10-3 is produced by Sean Knox. Theme music by Bryce Hall. Thanks to my guest, Chris Knight. More from him at nationalpost.com. I'm Dave Breckenridge. Thanks for listening.